Well, good morning, everyone. Well done. You've braved the storms this morning. It wasn't that long ago when people believed that when the thunder roared and the lightning flashed, that it meant that God was angry with them. Well, we must have done something wrong because he was really angry with us yesterday and through the night, wasn't he? Well, what a wonderful privilege it is to have a dry, warm building to come into this morning so that we can focus our hearts and our minds on our Lord Jesus and we can worship him in the Spirit. I've got a couple of notices for you this morning. First off, we are going to begin our... I'll tell you what, I'll leave that one to last. Sorry. I'm changing my... First notice this morning is to remind you of the additional or the special church members meeting on the 2nd of next month, where we will be continuing, or we'll be making the decision about the future minister for this church. Very important. Please pray for it. More importantly, please attend it. We need to, it's good that we should have as many members present as possible. It's a very, very crucial decision that we will be making, and we need God's guidance in the matter. Secondly, I have a slightly less joyful piece of news. Those of you that know Terry Kershaw for many years, it's come to our attention. I mean, Terry doesn't worship with us anymore, but Terry is in KGH and he's been diagnosed with cancer. So please pray for him and his family. And I know that John has been to see him, and I'm sure you'll probably go and see him again, won't you? So if you wish to pass your best wishes on to Terry, then perhaps you can speak to John and he can do that for you. So we do think about Terry and wish him recovery. So, let us open our time of worship in prayer. Most merciful God, we're gathered here in your name, the name of Jesus, your Son, who died for us, redeeming us and inviting us to the heavenly kingdom. Today, we come to worship with all our hearts, all our being. We come to worship in the Spirit as your children, Lord. So enable us to encounter you today through your Spirit that we might grow stronger, closer, and more devoted to you. Bless this time of worship, and may all that we do be honoring and glorifying to you this morning, Lord Jesus. Amen. I forgot to give you your copy. There we go. Bless you. So, this morning, exciting times, yeah, are you all ready for this? Our autumn book study on prayer begins this morning. Have you signed up for a nurture group? If you haven't, why not? If you want to, even if it's just for the 6 weeks that we are looking at this book on prayer, then there is an additional Bible study nurture group here in the church on Thursday evenings at 7:30. Nick and I will be leading that, or whether we're both doing it or how we're doing it. But one of us will be here at least over the next 6 weeks. Please, you know, give us a heads up if you want to come to that one so that I'm not sitting here on Thursday thinking, is anybody going to come? I don't want to be on my own. Come and join us, and I'm sure we'll have a really blessed time together as we seek the Lord's will for us as a praying church. Nick said so great to me this morning. He talked about an hour of prayer being a power hour. I like that phrase. I know you nicked it from somewhere else and I've just stolen it from you. But a power hour of prayer. What a great idea that is. Now, for those of you that are leading nurture groups, we have some printed sheets here which help to guide you through your nurture groups at home. If you want to, I'm going to put them up here. Please come and help yourself to one. And I think even if you are intending on reading the book and studying it on your own, there's some great resources online. Please go and have a look at them. There's great videos to help guide you through the thinking, to get those thoughts, the spiritual juices flowing, as it were, as we work our way through this time of prayer, guiding us in prayer, that we might have a deeper time prayer, not just as individuals, but of course as fellowship together. You know, when lots of people come together, what does the Bible say? When two or more are gathered in my name, there I will be. So if a whole load of us gather together for prayer, that means there is what? There is Jesus with you. That's what it means. If two or three of you gather together in the Lord's name, then the Lord promises to be there. That's a power hour, that is. That's, I like that. So let me share with you a verse this morning from the book of Genesis. Then God said, let us make human beings in our image to be like us. So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. He created them. Well, if God created us, lots of questions about what did he create us for? Well, I've got a wee quiz for you. I'm going to show you some pictures. Yeah, I want you to tell me what the pictures are. But then, when we get to the end, all of these pictures, all these items, have got something in common. Okay? So I want you to see if we can work out what it is. It's not difficult. Sorry, there's no prizes. But anyway, what's that? What's that, Neve? A zapper? Is that what you call it? It's a TV remote. It's a TV zapper then. That's a new one on me. I don't call it a zapper. But yes, okay, zapper. Quite like that. It's a zing zapper. So it's a TV remote, yes. What is that? It's an Alexa. Or it's an Amazon Echo, whatever it is. But yes, it's an Alexa. Okay? So remember, it's all to do with what do these things have in common. What's that? Where's the boys? What's that? It's a PlayStation controller. Yes, exactly. It's a PlayStation controller. So, what's that? A walkie-talkie. Anybody guessed what the thing that they all have in common is? Communication. See, I knew that a lot of you think that. Close, but no cigar. Right? So, about the last one. It's a person. Okay. So, what's a PlayStation remote, a walkie-talkie, a TV zapper, an Amazon Alexa, and a person all got in common? When did people have chips in them? Have you been listening to conspiracy theories? I like your alternative thinking. Oh, just my wife for you, that is. Anybody else? Come on, think about it. Yeah, it's not as easy, is it? I threw the person in there to completely throw you. They were all designed, each one of those items was designed to do something. Or to be something. It's a little complicated now, isn't it? Well, it is a form of communication, yes, but in communication, what do you do? Alexa doesn't work without Wi-Fi. What is it? Ah, yes, what's the signal? You're so close. Okay. Alexa doesn't work unless she's connected to the Wi-Fi. The remote control doesn't work for the PlayStation unless it's connected to the PlayStation. The remote control doesn't do anything unless it's connected to whatever it's controlling, usually the TV. The walkie-talkie is useless unless it's connected to another walkie-talkie. Guess what? All these things were designed to be connected. Okay. Who was the person designed? Who are you and I designed to be connected to God? We were all these things were created and they are purposeless. They are without purpose if they are not connected. We were designed to be connected. God created us like them. Father, Son, and Spirit. To be connected to God. Isn't that a wonderful thought? That the God who has the power to create the whole universe wants to be connected to you. Now that's either an awesome thought, or it might be a slightly scary thought. But we're going to think a bit more about that as the service goes on. So to begin with, what we're going to do is we're going to join together in some a time of worship through song. Yeah? We were designed to pray. That's how we connect with Jesus. But you know what? Hymns are part of a big worship conversation that we have with God. They are just like prayers. So let us join, stand together if you're able to, and we are going to sing a couple of songs. First one is, Open the Eyes of My Heart, Lord.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you.
Holy, 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 holy
want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you.
Lord Jesus, we pray that this morning you might touch our hearts, that we might have an encounter with you as we worship you. We've come here for you. It's all about you, Lord Jesus. It's not about us. It's about us knowing you, being connected with you. Father, we raise our voices to you in praise. Help us to see you the way you see us, Lord. Often we have a terrible way of seeing ourselves in front of you, Lord, but we know that you love us. We know that you care for us. And we know that you want to see us lifted up too, Lord. You want to be right next to us. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Sing, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Well, our young people are going to go and spend their time in Sunday social this morning. So if you youngsters want to go to Sunday social. And we will pray for them just for a moment. Father God, we thank you for the young hearts and minds that are going off to the Sunday social, Lord. We pray that you might grant your spirit and wisdom to those leading their time this morning, that they may grow to know you, Lord, to love you, and grow to be connected with you, Father God. And we also think, Father God, of all those young children, those youngsters that are not here. And we pray for them, Lord. May they come to know you. May they somehow, may we connect with them, Lord, in a way in which they might want to come here and find out about this wonderful Jesus that we know and love in our hearts. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our reading this morning comes from Luke's Gospel. It's Luke 11, verses 1 to 13. Some of you might be very familiar with this. So that's Luke 11, verses 1 to 13. Once Jesus was in a certain place praying. And as he finished, one of his disciples came to him and said, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." Jesus said, "This is how you should pray. Father, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. Give us each day the food we need, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation." Then, teaching them more about prayer, he used this story. Suppose you went to a friend's house at midnight, wanting to borrow 3 loaves of bread. You say to him, "A friend of mine has arrived for a visit, and I have nothing for him to eat." And suppose he calls out from his bedroom, "Don't bother me now, the door's locked for the night, and my family and I are all in bed. I can't help you. But I tell you this, though he won't do it for your friendship's sake, if you keep knocking long enough, he will get up and give you whatever you need because of your shameless persistence." Now, I would appear to have a slide missing. My apologies, I am going to read the rest from my notes. And so I tell you, keep on asking, and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds. And to everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. You fathers, if your children ask you for a fish, do you give them a snake instead? Or if they ask you for an egg, do you give them a scorpion? Of course not. So, if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And I pray that the Lord's read word this morning will take root in our hearts and be a blessing to us in his name. Now, Maxine is going to come and share time. We're going to have a time of prayer together. Seems appropriate, doesn't it, as we are talking about prayer?
There we are. Firstly, I'm going to read from 2 Corinthians, and it's 1:3-5. Praise to the God of all comfort. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. Now, because this morning's all about prayer, we're going to come together united the one true God, our one Saviour, our one Spirit, to present our prayers and our petitions and our thanksgivings. So Matt's got a mic, and I think there's a mic upstairs. Pete, do we have a mic upstairs? No, we don't. Okay, so if you've got a big voice and you could share your prayer, sorry about that. Or if you've really got something you want to pray about, you could come down. Okay, so we're going to pray together. So I'm asking you to join us this morning in this open time of prayer. Please think about what's on your heart. It could be a local issue, a worldly issue, prayer for this church, the activities that we do, prayer for our families, the schools, or any type of praise and thanksgiving. I'm going to suggest we start with one particular thing that's really important to us right now, and that is... I got distracted by that. So I'm going to suggest we open with a specific prayer time, and that is we're thinking about Nick's calling to this church family and whether or not he will be our next pastor. And I know a lot of us have been thinking about that and praying about that. So I'm going to ask if someone might lead us on that particular subject as we get started. I know it's a challenge, but have a think about this, because we are a church family and we do need to be praying in unity together on subjects. Okay, so if you stick your hand up, if you're willing to start a prayer. Come on, be brave. I'm going to get a stone wall, aren't I?
Prayer's not an audience sport, it's a participation sport.
Come okay.
On. Bless you.
Father, we just lift Nick and his vision for this church before you now. Father, I ask that it will speak clearly to our hearts, Lord God, that this man is right for this time, for this season, for this church. Father, as we come together to vote in October, Lord, I ask that we will come in complete unity as a church, knowing that we have heard you really clearly on this subject, Lord God. Father, we continue to lift this situation before you, and for some of us, you've already spoken. For some, it is clear. For others, it may not be, Lord God, but I ask that when it's time to vote, each one of us comes before you knowing that we have heard you and we are voting as you would wish us to vote.
Amen. And Father God, we thank you so much. We thank you for Nick and Dawn. We thank you for their perseverance on this journey into ministry, Lord. We particularly think of Nick and the last year and the essays and all the workload that comes with that, Father God. And we pray you bless him with wisdom and with a comfort, Lord, and a knowledge that you have complete plans for this situation. You already know what's going to happen here, Lord. You already know the outcome. You know how each one of us are going to pray and what our hearts are thinking and saying, Lord. So, Father, I ask you that you would tend to us in those times when we come to you, that you would remind us that you hear our prayers. So we lift the entire family to you, Father, and we thank you for all they do for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for those wonderful verses at the end of the passage. Lord, you promised that if we ask, it would be given to you. Lord, we ask for the right person to be our minister. You promised, Lord, that if we seek, we will find. Lord, we seek your will, that every one of us, and Nick and Dawn, will be convinced of what your will is for Nick and Dawn's work here. Lord, we knock at your door. Open it to an effective ministry. worship and outreach in this church, Lord. And Father, you promised that if anyone asks, you will give the Spirit. Lord, we seek that for all of us. We need your Holy Spirit within us, empowering and guiding us. But we particularly ask an infilling of your Spirit for Nick and Dawn. And Lord, when we come to make that decision in October, your prophet of old said we would hear a voice saying, this is the way, walk in it, if we turn either to the right or to the left. Lord, however you speak to each of us individually, let us hear that voice telling us what the right decision is. And whatever that decision is, Lord, we pray you will bless and magnify your work and use Nick and Dawn and all of us in your service, because you commanded and promised that we should be witnesses. And Lord, we want to be witnesses in desperate and wrathful, and we want your servant to lead us and guide us in this. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Thank you, John.
Does anybody else want to share a prayer? Is anything on anyone's heart right now that they want to share? It's a difficult thing, isn't it? It's learning to do this as a church family, coming together and sharing what's on our hearts.
Our Heavenly Father, our hearts bleed when we listen to the news and we hear of so many people who have died, families that have lost loved ones. And Lord, we just come to you and just pray that you will work in the hearts and lives of those in our world who seem bent on destroying each other. We remember Gaza and Lebanon. We remember Sudan. Lord, we don't hear so much about that these days, but people are starving there. And just pray for the relief agencies that are working there, that they will be able to help those in such desperate. Lord, we thank you that you are the God who cares for your people, and we pray particularly for Christian people who are serving and bringing Christ's name and relief in these countries. Lord, we would not forget Ukraine, and just pray that soon there will be a resolve to bring peace into that land. Pray particularly for Putin, and just ask that you will help him to accept that he needs to come and seek peace. For all these situations, Lord, we lift them to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And Father God, we do remember the work of Mercy Ships that we've been supporting this year, as they travel around providing medical support and aid and operations for all kinds of people in places so deprived, Lord, that they can't ring up and wait in a long queue to get an appointment with the GP, Lord. There is no medical help for them. And so we pray for Mercy Ships. We pray that they might be supplied and supported with funds, Lord. But also we pray for the work that those emissaries do that go in advance to make contact with governments and agencies within those countries, because sometimes, Lord, we know that they are turned away as a Christian ship. They're turned away because of your name, Father God. We pray that they might be get access to the places that need love, to the places that need medical treatments. Lord Jesus, when you walked around in your ministry, you constantly were healing people. You were relieving them of their suffering. And so we lift Mercy Ships up to you and pray for your blessing upon them. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Anyone else?
Father God, I want to bring to you all those people right now in our church family, all those whose hearts are searching and seeking you, Lord God, all those who are wondering how to build that connection with you, Father God, and where to start, Lord, all those who are looking at the Bible and seeing it as a major issue because it's so big and there's so much, Lord God, all those who are struggling with their health right now, all those who are recovering from illnesses, Lord, all those who are recovering from operations. We particularly think of our friend Terry Kershaw, who currently is in the hospital with a diagnosis of cancer, Lord. Father, we lift him to you and we ask you to surround him with your arms and hold him, Lord, as he goes through this journey. We pray for the staff and the doctors and the care that's around him right now, Lord God. And we ask you to bless him, Father, right now in this time. Father, we thank you that we can come as a family, united, each of us with things on our heart right now that maybe we're not brave enough to say out loud. But Father, you know everything that goes on in our lives. Father, we thank you. And now we're going to stand together and we're going to say the Lord's Prayer together. And it's going to be up on the screen. So if you join me and stand. And we're going to say the Lord's Prayer together. So you focus your hearts. We're going to stand up, Judith. Okay.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Thank you.
What a privilege it is that we have that connection with Jesus, and that through prayer we can present our worries, our fears, our petitions to him, and know, because he promised, he will be listening. How wonderful is that? What a friend we have in our Lord Jesus. We're going to stand and sing our next hymn. It's a song called He Calls Me Friend. Okay, we have sung it once before here, but it's going to play off the laptop, so stand together and sing this song. I have a friend, faithful friend, and Jesus is his name. My shepherd, he remains. I have a friend, a mighty friend, and Jesus is his name. I shall not fear. Please be seated, everyone. He calls me friend. That's a nice thought, isn't it? Let's start then, as we think about prayer, and we're going to be going through this book, and I don't know if anybody have had a sneak peek, but if you've started reading already, the first two chapters for this week. But I wanted us to think about something almost pre-starting the book. Okay? So I'll start with a silly joke, yeah? Because I like silly jokes, yeah? What do you call a man with a machine gun? You could at least hesitate at that. You know me, you know this. Yes, sir. Yes, okay, it's a ridiculous joke, isn't it? But it kind of does highlight something. In all the relationships that we have with the various different people in our lives, the way in which we talk or communicate or even connect with those people, those different people, is defined by our perspective of that person and the perspective we think they have of us. Yeah? Follow me with this one. So when I'm at work and I get summoned to the big office upstairs and I have to go up and see my managing director, yeah, it's not too often, thankfully, I'm much more careful with my choice of words. I use less personal or familiar terminology, yeah, and instead I choose formal words. I call him sir out of respect until he gave me permission to call him by his first name. It's a reflection of my perspective of him and his position in the company that I work for. He has authority. He hired me, after all, and he could fire me, of course. So I am respectful. He also has the responsibility and the authority to make the big decisions in the company, and I respect that. So that shapes the way in which I communicate with him. It's my perspective of him. Equally, he has a perspective of me. Well, I think he has. I don't know unless he tells me. But I build an image in my mind, don't I, of his perspective of me. And that reflects how I communicate with him. Now, of course, the way I communicate with my wife, Maxine, is exactly the same because she's the boss. No, it's not. The way I communicate with Maxine is completely different, of course. We have a connection built from a different place. There's an understanding between us, my perspective of Maxine as my wife, the bonds of marriage and the love that there is between us shapes the way I talk to her and the way she talks to me. It's different. For all of our communications with different people that we meet every day, we make these little snap judgments, don't we? We immediately begin to think about the perspective we have on that person and potentially the perspective they have of us, and we communicate in an appropriate way. Now, don't ask me what that appropriate way is, because that's really complicated, isn't it, in our society? And I think it's perhaps shaped by culture as well. So it occurs to me then that before we establish the big worship conversation that is prayer with Jesus, the type or flavour of that prayer for worship conversation is going to be determined by our perspective of Jesus. Follow me? It's also going to be shaped by what we think Jesus thinks of us. And it's also going to be shaped by a cultural influence. You think about coming to prayer, you may have been taught growing up that using certain familiar words or certain phrases, we don't talk to Jesus like that. The first time I had heard somebody call Jesus Daddy, I just didn't like it. It just didn't fit with me. It was very uncomfortable. I was like, no, that's, I've got a dad. He sat over there as it happens. I've got a dad. I don't need another dad. I need a father. And for me, that worked. That sat in my mind. But it occurs to me that culture also shapes the way we think about Jesus. Therefore, it shapes the way we communicate with Jesus. How did you feel when we stood up and said we were going to have what I call an open time of prayer, and I'm standing there with the microphone and Maxine's saying, we're going to ask you, we want you to join us in prayer? Anybody willing to tell me? Uncomfortable, scared, nervous, exactly. I don't blame you. Praying can be scary. It can make you nervous. It can create anxiety. And that's before you add into the mix the idea of doing it in front of everybody else. But the thing is, what happens if within you don't feel as though you're worthy? You don't feel as though you're good enough? If we feel unworthy, anxious, scared about having a conversation with Jesus, it makes prayer really difficult. Now, I don't know about you, but I have a habit of avoiding things that are difficult. I think it's just a human response. Equally, if we think that Jesus sees us as being a bit rubbish, not really good at anything, of low value, yeah, why would we think that he wants to make time to speak to us? Now, the chances are, if you feel that Jesus thinks you're rubbish and not very good and of little value, then potentially it may actually be how you feel. Because that's what we do as human beings, isn't it? We transpose how we feel about ourselves onto what, well, if I feel that about myself, everybody else must feel that about me. Do you remember those awkward moments in school? Do you know where I'm going with this, don't you? You've just nodded, I know you do. Do you remember those moments in school the teacher picked two captains to choose teams, yeah? And there they were, and then the rest of you are all lined up. I always used to think that was a bit like a firing squad, you know. The two captains stood there, and there you all were thinking, oh, I hate this. And the two captains pick their teams, usually with two priorities. One, how good you were at whatever sport it was you were about to play, because as a captain you want to win. And secondly, what your friendship status was. If you were friends with one of the captains, you're in. But if you're not, and you're rubbish at the sport that you're about to play, then chances are you're going to be really low down the pecking order to be chosen. It's a terrible rejection, isn't it? It feels awful. So before we start to dive into our study on how to pray, I think it would benefit us to examine, what perspective do we have of Jesus? And how do I think he really feels about me? If we see Jesus as the captain that is always going to pick you last, think about that. If Jesus is over there somewhere, distant from you, disconnected from you, and we think he's the captain that's always going to pick us last. If you see a role in the church, or perhaps a calling within our fellowship, but always feel like someone else would be better than you, well, then you're never going to put your name forward to do it, are you? And are you going to want to talk to the captain that doesn't choose you? Probably not. So I invite you to think carefully. Think again. How do I really see Jesus? And how do I believe he sees me? Does Jesus really love me? The Bible says that God created my innermost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. So before you were even born, God knew you. I praise you because I am fearful and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, that you are his masterpiece, made in the image of God to do wonderful things. And to be honest, I could go on quoting lines out of Scripture for some time, describing how God sees you. You are made just the way God wanted to make you. That's perhaps a question you might want to wait till you meet him in the heavens to say, what did you give me this for? I've been asthmatic all my life. I've always wondered, oh Lord, what was that for? But question not the plan. I was made by the hand of God just that way. Satan, of course, well, he wants you to think and feel otherwise. Because when we feel, when we feel or we hear the inner voice that says, I am not good enough, we begin to infect our perspective of Jesus. Instead of Jesus being the Savior that's right here, right next to me, he becomes the God over there, somewhere else. He becomes distant and removed and disconnected. A number of weeks back when we talked about the shield of faith, what did we say the shield of faith was shielding us from? Somebody tell me. The flaming arrows that come from Satan. Some of those flaming arrows are there to disconnect you from Jesus. They're there to make you feel not good enough. They're there to pull you down and drag you down and make you feel rubbish about yourself. They're there to inhibit the good works that Jesus created for you to do. Our prayer life will often therefore reflect where we are in that struggle to stay close and intimately connected with Christ. Perhaps this book study, therefore, is an opportunity for us to reconnect with Jesus in a way that might feel rather liberating. Perhaps it's time to change your perspective on Jesus, but perhaps it's also time you changed what you really think Jesus feels about you. That's a very personal thing. It's not often the sort of thing we want to admit to. We don't like being scared and we don't like admitting it. We don't like feeling low and anxious. But we often do. Even seasoned Christians can have prayer lives that become stale. Perhaps you've experienced prayer in a way that's ineffective. Doesn't appear to be working. I keep asking for these things. I just don't see anything happen. Therefore, prayer is pointless. I had a friend recently go through something like this. Going through a very difficult time. And he just felt as though God was just not answering him. He was still tucked up in bed in that upper room saying, the door's locked. Go away. Don't give up. Keep going. Be persistent. He does hear you. In our Bible passage today, the disciples ask Jesus, teach us to pray. Jesus' answer is, this is how to pray. The Lord's Prayer is given as an effective roadmap to begin prayer. It also shows us something about God and what God wants to do for us and what kind of loving God that we have, the kind of relationship he invites us to have with him. There's lots of different ways in which you can, there's so much in the Lord's Prayer, you could make a sermon on each line out of the Lord's Prayer, but I've put together some of the lines from the Lord's Prayer with thinking aimed at being connected about this business of perspective. Our Father who is in heaven, ours, not somebody else's. It signifies a connection. It's a personal God, not the God in heaven over there somewhere else. Jesus says on a number of occasions in the scriptures, the kingdom of heaven has come near. Jesus has brought the promise of heaven right next to us. No longer is heaven the untouchable, but through our faith in Jesus, heaven has become the inevitable. Our God is a God of relationship. We will make them like us. A three-in-one, perfect relationship God, Father, Son, and Spirit, invites us to join in that perfect relationship. That's not a God over there. That's a God in here. What kind of relationship? A father, as the prayer says, our father. Well, I'm all too familiar with the fact that our father, for some people, is a hideous thought. Our mother is perfectly acceptable. God is without gender. The parent who nurtures is perfectly acceptable. Give us each day the food we need. The parent who provides and nourishes us with everything that we need. God knows what you need. The Bible tells us that God knows what you need before you even open your mouth and ask him. Why then does he want to hear from us? Because God actually just loves the conversation that we have with him. God loves it when we take time out of our busy day to stop and just have a chat. That's what he wants, to be in your day, to be in your thoughts. Forgive us our sins. Parent who is patient, slow to anger, and quick to accept my, I'm sorry I got that wrong. Sorry, Lord. A God who is full of grace, a forgiving God. As we forgive those who sin against us, a parent who wants what is best for us, to teach us his ways of righteousness, because he knows we will benefit from and not be destroyed by learning to be more like Jesus. He wants to teach us. He wants to show us the way. And don't let us yield to temptation. A parent who will protect us out of love and mercy, for he knows our weaknesses and he loves to strengthen us, loves to liberate us. Wrapped up in that prayer, and you'll notice that the words I've chosen here are from the NLT, which I read, but when we said the Lord's Prayer, we said a more traditional version of the Lord's Prayer, doesn't we? Here it uses the word, forgive us our sins. We say, forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. It's just a different version of the same prayer. Because it's not what to pray, it's how to pray. It's the beginning of prayer. Start here. and carry on. So wrapped up in that prayer is the correct perspective of our Saviour Jesus and a window into how to see yourself. It is good sometimes to just say that prayer to remind us who Jesus wants us to be and who he wants to be for us, a parent, a friend, a Lord and a Saviour. Jesus knows that prayer is often difficult, just like it was when I stood here with a mic and it was difficult. Prayer is not a recital of fancy words and clever sentences. It is a worship conversation. And sometimes you will not know what to say. Who's ever been in a situation in prayer and not know what to say? Hands up. Of course. But do you know what? Do you know what the best thing is? God's already got it covered. Isn't that awesome? Do you know what the Bible tells us? It says, and the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for. But the Holy Spirit says, the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father who knows all hearts knows what the Spirit's saying. For the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will. When you don't know what to pray, don't let that stop you praying. Just sit down and go, that's how I feel, Lord. That's the place to start. Just groan and the Spirit will pray for you. Of course, the big part of the conversation, the worship conversation, is not a monologue of or a shopping list of what you want. It's a conversation, and that means having to stop and listen. Wait for Jesus to engage with us. That's hard as well, isn't it? Why is this worship conversation so precious then? So crucial, but so rewarding? Well, because God designed us never to be apart from it. God has so much he wants to say to you and to me. It's the conversation that goes backwards and forwards like all great friendships. With a best friend, sometimes you just sit down and chat, not because you have something to say, but because they want to say something to you. Does that not happen with you in your friendships? Sometimes a friend rings you and says, oh, can we have a chat? You've no idea what they want, but you know they want something, so you sit down and you make the time and you chat and you listen. And you listen and it becomes a conversation. That's the essence of great friendship. It's accepting and tolerant, isn't it? It's sacrificial. It's not self-serving and selfish. It loves. It gives. Jesus is our friend, the ultimate friend who loves you. The Bible says there is no greater friend than one who is willing to lay down his life for you. What a friend in Jesus then, who did just that for you and I, so that we might have an eternal worship conversation with Jesus. So perhaps it's a good time this autumn to refresh your prayer life and see what your friend wants to say to you. I'll just finish with one last story. True story. There was an elderly man. Went to church regular as clockwork, and the vicar spent all morning talking about prayer, and he got to the end of the day, and as he was leaving, he shook hands with the vicar, as he does every week, and he said to him, I don't really get prayer. It's never really worked for me. I've never been able to get the hang of it. And the vicar says to him, well, where is Jesus when you're praying? He sort of looked at him a bit strange and said, I don't know. He said, well, maybe you should get a chair for him to sit down next to you with. Because that's where he ought to be, right next to you. So the old man thought about it and went on his way. And a little while went by and he stopped coming to church. He was poorly and couldn't get there. And then all of a sudden that vicar got the call from that elderly man's daughter. He'd passed away He went round to see her. And as they chatted together and talked about her father, that he'd known, that the vicar had known for many, many years, he asked her, "Did he pass away peacefully?" "Oh," she said. "Well, it was slightly strange." "Oh, why?" "Well, for some time, Dad had put a chair beside the bed that none of us were allowed to sit in. And when I found him in the morning, he was half out the bed, lying with his head in the chair. Because that's where Jesus was when he prayed." True story, Al. So perhaps it's time to refresh our prayer lives and listen to what the most wonderful friend wants to say to you. Heavenly Father, I just pray for each one of us here this morning, Lord. I lift everyone up to you, Lord, and I just pray for your blessing on the connection that you have, the friendship you have, and the conversations that you have with each one of us, Lord. I pray that you will help us to hear you and to respond to you. I pray, Lord, that you will strengthen the prayer life of us as individuals, but also as a church together, Lord, that we might seek your will, find your will, and respond to your will. Amen. We're going to sing our last hymn, and Brian's going to come and play us out. Yeah, mate. What else could I finish with? Have we trials and temptations? Yeah? Is this trouble? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Let's stand and sing this together. Apologies. I go to the effort of writing verse 1, 2 and 3 on it and then clearly didn't bother to read it, did I? Sorry about that, folks. Lord Jesus, we thank you that we can meet together in safety in this place. I pray now that Father, Son and Holy Spirit, you bless each one of us as we go about our week. Be in our lives, Lord. Change us, renew us, grant us strength. Help us to be your ambassadors in the world, your hands and feet that make a difference, Father God. And for each one of us, Lord, that has doubts and worries, I pray that you will give us strength to overcome. In the Lord, name of Jesus, amen. Have a great week, folks. If you haven't got one of these books, I don't know if we've got any left, but there are still some with people's names on out there. And if you haven't got yourself organised into one of the nurture groups, please do so.